Business Review from KWBU and Baylor University's Handkammer School of Business. I'm CJ Jackson. This is one of a series of conversations with Dr. Charles North, Associate Professor of Economics, on issues he writes about with Bob Smetana in their new book, Good Intentions, 9 Hot Button Issues Viewed Through the Eyes of Faith. Let's talk about minimum wage, Dr. North. Many faith-based organizations advocate a living wage. What are the effects of increasing the minimum wage in America?
This has to be one of the most heavily studied questions in the field of labor economics. What does a minimum wage do? And to be perfectly honest, when you get right down to it at the very end, bottom line, the answer is not all that much. But I'll be a little more precise. You know, I think a lot of these faith-based organizations are advocating increasing the universal minimum wage for exactly the reason you say. People need to be able to live off of the money they earn when they work. And to them, it seems like the most obvious way is to increase what they get paid. Oftentimes, the people who are advocating this also have a mental model in their mind that the reason that people are being paid so little is because the boss is exploiting them. And so there is this kind of exploitation rhetoric that's bundled in there as well. So to get back to your question, okay, if we were to do this, what would be the effect? The short answer is this. When you raise the minimum wage a little bit, a few people at the very low end of the wage scale lose their jobs. Or, more likely, when somebody quits from a fast food establishment, if you were to raise the minimum wage, when someone quits, they just don't get replaced. So that someone out there who maybe wants a job, you know, next July, they're not going to be able to find that $6 an hour job. That's the first thing that happens. Now, some of those people are poor on both ends. But not everybody who earns minimum wage is poor. Some of them are teenage kids from middle-class families who are trying to get some car money or money for the prom. So we're not entirely targeting poor people by raising the minimum wage. But we still are targeting about half of that population that earns minimum wage is probably in the, you know, below poverty level set of people. So what happens is some of the poor people who work minimum wage are better off. Some of the poor people who can't find jobs or who lose jobs are worse off, and you've effectively taken money from one set of poor people and given it to another set of poor people through the avenue of an employer. Something else that happens is that we may start substituting, say, a really smart high schooler for a not-so-smart high school dropout. So I've got two people who both have 10th grade educations. It's that one is still in 10th grade and is probably going to go to college someday. Most likely, that person is a much more effective and more productive worker. And if I've got to pay more for the job, I need higher productivity to compensate me for it. I think that's the piece that's often lost when we talk about minimum wage. And so the groups that are advocating an increase in the minimum wage to a living wage level, you know, I think they do it because it feels good. It feels like we'll fix this. They have, as we title the book, they have good intentions. But the results really don't come through for them the way that they would like. In fact, they may be hurting the exact people that they wish they could help.
Thanks, Dr. North. This is the Business Review from KWBU and Baylor University's Handkammer School of Business. To hear this and other past business reviews, visit kwbu.org or baylor.edu/business/radio or subscribe to our free podcast at the iTunes Music Store. I'm CJ Jackson. Tune in for the Business Review Thursday and Friday mornings on 103.3 FM.